Morning. It's great to be with you here this morning. I think it's the first time we've been on the island without our children, so it's kind of a mini vacation for us, and being at Harry and Faith's just on the water, it's almost like a second honeymoon for us. So. But yeah, it's been great being here. It's great being here with you. If you could turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah, I want to look at the book of Jonah here this morning. And I want to look at the first chapter in the book of Jonah. It's a very personal book. You go to the minor prophets, and you learned very little about the prophets, but here in the book of Jonah, you learned a lot about Jonah, and you learned a lot about God. And really, that's what I want to look at here this morning. I want to see what we can see about God in the book of Jonah. And I want to look at Jonah himself and how we can learn lessons from the life of Jonah. And then last of all, I want to look in chapter 1 at a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that I've been enjoying as of late. And trust that this morning we might, with God's help, be encouraged as we look at these three aspects of the book of Jonah. So let's start at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. It says this, "And now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. And he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And if you go down to verse 14, it says, Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And so I first of all want to look at just aspects of God in this little book. And the first thing that we learn about God in this book is that God cares. God cares about us. God cares about Jonah. He cares where Jonah's going. He cares about the decisions that Jonah's making. And you know, in our lives, he cares about what the decisions we make. And I think of the God of creation and how he's working here in the book of Jonah, and he's creating a storm. He's preparing a fish. He's working in his creation just for one man. Could he work in his creation just for us? Do you know he could? I think of Hurricane Arthur that's come through. And I know it's affected the island here, and it affected St. John. Affected even our little house. We had a tree fall down, and if you're after the storm, or if you were to go down to King Square, you'd see trees down all over the place. But that affected the whole East Coast. But I wonder if God allowed that just for one person, one Christian. Maybe there's a Christian that needed some extra firewood. Maybe there's a hydro worker that was a Christian that needed a little extra work. You see, God here is moving in this storm. It would have affected thousands of people, but it was for one person. Or maybe God allowed Hurricane Arthur to get someone's attention. And that's what he's doing with Jonah here. He's working his creation just for one man. God has infinite resources, doesn't he? I've been looking at the book of Daniel lately and just thinking how God's not just moving in creation, but he can move in hearts of those that don't even know him. And I think in chapter 1 in the book of Daniel, how he brings Daniel in favor with Arioch and with Melzar and then later on with Darius the king, and God works in those people's hearts just for Daniel, so that Daniel might be brought in favor with those individuals. And do you know the people around you, maybe your boss and so on, do you know God can work in their hearts to bring you in favor with them? Do you know, just going to the university and being able to set up a gospel literature table. Every time I go into the university, I pinch myself that I'm able to even do that. I can put whatever I want on the table and no questions asked. But God has brought me into favor with individuals at the university. And you know, God is able to do that in your life. He's able to work in creation just for you. He's able to work in the hearts of those that don't even know him just for you. And it shows us this, that God cares for his people. And he's not a distant God that's far off. He's interested in what we do. He's interested in where we go. And he knows everything about us. And he cares for you and for me. You know, God could have said this to Jonah. He could have said, you know, Jonah, if you're not going to go to the Ninevites, I'm going to go and get someone else. I'll get another prophet to go. But God doesn't do that because he loves Jonah so much that he works with Jonah. And finally, after the fish and so on, Jonah ends up going to the Ninevites. The first thing we learn about God here is that he cares for his people. The second thing we learn about God here is that he not only cares for his people, but he cares for those that don't even know him, the unsaved, the unbeliever. He cares for these Ninevites. And often we think that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. But it's not true. The God of the New Testament and the God of the Old Testament is the same God. And here we see in the book of Jonah that he is a God of compassion. He is a God of love. And yet he is a just God. And here the Ninevites' sin, it's growing. It's almost like a barometer. And it's coming to its full, and God has to step in because of his holiness. But before he steps in, he sends a messenger. He sends Jonah. He wants someone to go and warn them because, you know what? He desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. He wills that all men be saved. He cares for the unsaved. And Jonah knew that if he was to go to the Ninevites, that God would show compassion on them if they turned, and they did turn. A whole nation turned to him. And God showed compassion because he cares for those that don't know him. A number of months ago, I went to Ontario, and I had meetings set up and so on. I was in Toronto, and I was to go to Hamilton, Ontario, the home assembly that I grew up in. And I was to speak there on a Wednesday night, and it's on West 5th Street, West 5th Bible Chapel. And before I was to go, I was in my brother's apartment in Toronto. I get a call from my wife. And she said, her best friend, Misty, said, Misty's father is in the hospital in Hamilton. Can you go visit him? And what had happened is he was in the States. He was spitting up blood, and he didn't have insurance in the States, so he had to make it to a Canadian hospital. So the Lord directed him to Hamilton, to St. Joe's Hospital, and I said, well, what hospital is it? And I find out it's St. Joe's. So I look it up on my GPS, and I find out that St. Joe's is actually on West 5th Street. And I was to go there that Wednesday night. I could have walked from where I was, from the meeting, I could have walked down to the hospital. It's amazing. I went and visited Mike Lennon. Got about 10 minutes to talk to him about the Lord. And normally I don't bring Via magazines, but I felt burdened that trip to bring a Via magazine. I didn't even told him. God burdened me to bring this magazine, and it's for you. about 10 minutes to talk to him about the Lord. But I just wonder that whole trip and all the meetings and so on, if I was to go to Ontario just for Mike Lennon so that he could hear the gospel. 3 months later, I was doing Mike Lennon's funeral. I don't know if he ever came to know the Lord. But it tells me this, that God cares for those that don't know him. He cares for the unsaved. He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know him. He does love you and he wants you to come to know him. He wants you, just like the Ninevites, to turn from your going your own way and to turn to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved and be his. That's his longing. That's his desire for every individual. If you're here this morning and you don't know him, will you this morning in your heart turn to him and say, now I know you, Lord Jesus. I turn from going my own way. And I turn to you and I want to know where I'm going. I want my sin forgiven. You can have that this morning. And God longs for that. And so we learned here that God is a God who cares. But we also learned from the book of Jonah this, that he's a God that speaks, and there's two different ways he speaks here. He speaks through his word, a direct revelation. He speaks in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. But he also speaks through circumstances. He allows the fish, he allows the storm and so on. And you know what? Jonah's getting the message. You see his prayer in chapter 2. He said, Lord, it was you that cast me into the sea. Lord, it was you that allowed this fish to swallow me. He was getting the message that, yes, I'm going the wrong way, but these circumstances are being worked out. And God, you're speaking through circumstances. And you know, God speaks in both these ways. And sometimes it's to get our attention. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement. But he does speak through his word, and he lets us know what he wants. When we were going to Ireland, we had gone and we had viewed the land. We had spent, 2 weeks there, or 10 days. And the Lord was, as the Lord would open a door, we would step through it. As he would open another door, we would step through it. And we had gone, and it was probably the toughest time, those 10 days, being in Ireland. I think it rained every day, and whatever could go wrong went wrong. And the Lord is just showing us it's not going to be easy, but I'm calling you there. And the first morning when I got back, I turned to Psalm 107, 7, and it said this, I will lead you by the right way to a city of habitation. Like, Lord, you're directing. The next morning, I turned to Genesis 26, and there it speaks about Isaac. And Isaac was tempted to go down into Egypt. It would have been easier. There was a famine in the land. God had called him to Canaan. And he, like his father, he could have just gone down into Egypt, and it would have been easier. He would have been able to feed his flocks and so on. And God just saying, it would be easier for you to stay here in Canada. But I'm calling you to Ireland. The next day, the Lord speaks again. You see, God does speak through his word. I'm reading a little book. It's by William MacDonald. God Still Speaks. And it's little stories about individuals who go through circumstances and God speaks through his word. And I'll just give you one of the stories here this morning. There's a little boy named William. He was 5 years of age. He was dying of diphtheria. And back then, it was fatal. I mean, you don't even hear about that disease today. But that little boy was, as the doctors would see it, was on his deathbed and leaving this world. There's a godly old man who was connected with the family. And that morning he was given this verse in Psalm 91, verse 14, and it says this, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that godly old man, he came to the family and he said, listen, your boy's not going to die. God's given me this verse this morning. And the one who was writing that little story was William McDonald. And it was really his life story. He was to die at 5 years of age with diphtheria. He said, I want to tell you that verse has come true. He's shown me his salvation. And I'm an 83-year-old man, and he has satisfied me with a long life. But God does speak through his word. And so to spend time with him in the morning, to read his word, because as we're going through circumstances, he gives us a verse. Sometimes a verse of encouragement, sometimes a verse to get our attention. Sometimes it's a verse of action, and here in Jonah's case, it was a verse of action. I want you to go to the Ninevites. God speaks through his word. And then secondly, he speaks through circumstances. And again, sometimes it's to get our attention. And with Jonah, it was to get his attention. God works through this circumstance, and it's loud and clear, and Jonah sees it. God, you're speaking. I think when we were going to Ireland, a lot of things had happened just the month before we were to go. I'd given my notice at work. Melanie had a miscarriage just after that. Victoria was diagnosed with diabetes just after that. She was 4 years of age. Our car broke down. It was unrepairable. So we started to borrow cars, and every car that we borrowed seemed to break down. So I think people were kind of hesitant to lend us their car. So I had my brother-in-law's car, and we were driving from Moncton. And we hit Petit Kodiak. It was about midnight. And the catalytic converter underneath the car, it was glowing red, and if you know what a catalytic converter is, the muffler was blocked. So we pulled over, and the car was smoking, and here we are on the side of the road. What are we going to do? There's a pickup truck that came along. It stopped. It had a King cab. And the guy said, you know what? You need to get home. It's midnight. Pack all your luggage from the car into the back of the cab, and I'm going to take you all the way home. Now, it was Petit Kodiak. He brought us all the way back to St. John. Now, he asked me on the way. Again, the Lord opened up the door to talk to him about the Lord. He said, do you know a man named Roland Follett? I said, yeah, I know him well. And Roland Follett, he's gone to be with the Lord, but he was an elder in the assembly in St. John. And he had a little hardware business, and everyone that came through those doors, well, they would hear about the Lord. And this man would make deliveries to Roland. And he said to me, as I'm talking to him about the Lord, he said, you know, Roland used to tell me the exact same thing that you're telling me. And the Lord was just working out those circumstances, because what we were going through, Melanie had a miscarriage. Victoria diagnosed with diabetes, it just seemed like everything was coming in on us. But the Lord was working out the circumstances to tell us this. I'm right with you. Keep going. And God does speak through circumstances, as he does to Jonah here. Now, what else can we learn about God here is that he works above our failures. He can take something that is bad and he can turn around for his good. And we see that in chapter 1 here. Here are these men, they're in the ship. The storm has come up. They're wondering what's going on. They're in confusion. And they find out that it's Jonah. Jonah's the reason. And Jonah's going the wrong way. He's made the wrong decision. But you know, God turns this situation and he turns it around for his good. Because in this disobedience with Jonah, at the end of this chapter, these men, instead of crying out to their gods, they end up turning to the true God of heaven. And they actually, at the end of this chapter, they offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving to him. They're turning their hearts from their gods to the one and only God. And see God turning the circumstance around. And in our failures and in our wrong decisions and the decisions that we make, he can turn it around for his good. And in every situation, he could turn it around for his good. And we can see that actually all through the book of Jonah. Isn't he a good God? A God that takes our failures and he turns it around for his glory and for his good. Well, let's think about Jonah here. Jonah's actually a man of God. I think sometimes we're hard on Jonah. But you start to look through this little book, and you see that he is a man that does fear God. He even says that to these men here in the ship. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. And it's true, he did. You come to chapter 2 and you see his prayer. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. It's a prayer of him claiming the promise of God. We see a man that's close to God and fears God. You come to chapter 4, you see that he knows God. I knew you'd show compassion, he says. He's a man that is a godly man, but God is pressing in on this one decision in his life. And Jonah might say, you know, God, I'll do anything for you, but I just won't do this. I'm not going to go to the Ninevites. It's like David and his mighty men, the three mighty men, they would do anything for David. They would fight through the Philistines to get to that Bethlehem's well and to get the water and fight all the way back. They'd do anything for David. Or how about that woman with the alabaster box? A year's wages. To the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing too small for you, Lord. But it's like Jonah here. I'll do anything for you, Lord. But I'm not going to go to the Ninevites. Now, what was it? Was it because it was 500 miles away? No. Was it because he thought if he went, he'd get lynched? No. It's because he had a deep-seated hatred towards the Ninevites. They were the enemies of God. You know what they've done to our people? You know what they've done to my family members? I'll do anything, God, but I'm not going to the Ninevites. Maybe there's something in our lives that God is pressing home in our lives, and you say, God, I'll do anything for you, but I'm not going to do that. And maybe it's this. Maybe it's humbling yourself and going to a brother or sister and say, you know what? I was wrong. And I know our relationship is strained, but I know the right thing to do is to come to you and just ask your forgiveness. And maybe God's pressing you in this. You say, God, I'll do anything, but I'm not going to do that. I think twice in my life I've had to do that. And you're up nights, you're sweating, what am I going to say? But the minute you go to them and you ask forgiveness, it's the best thing. Or maybe it's this. Maybe it's someone at your work that you're burdened for. The Lord has burdened your heart to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the door is opened and you have opportunity to tell them and you just keep quiet. Lord, I'll do anything, but not that. Maybe the Lord's calling you to go to another country, to leave the comforts of North America and to go to another country. Lord, I'll do anything. But not that. I know when we were going to Ireland, Melanie said, I'm not going to leave Canada. Never say you're not going to do something because the Lord sometimes directs. And the Lord directed and worked in both of our hearts. And though it wasn't easy, the Lord directed us to Ireland. And maybe he's calling you to leave the comforts of North America. And I don't know what it is here this morning, but maybe there's something that the Lord's pressing in on you. And you're coming to a Joppa decision just like Jonah. and you turn the other way, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Peter was brought to the exact same Joppa decision. In the book of Acts, he's in Joppa. And he has to make this decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to go to the Gentiles? Well, my Jewish brethren, they're not going to be happy. But God is directing, God is calling, God is pressing me forward. And you know what? Peter went, and then he told his brethren what happened. But it was to Cornelius, wasn't it? We can read in Acts chapter 9. It was a Joppa decision, and maybe here this morning, God is bringing you to that Joppa decision. Is it my will, or is it his will? William MacDonald would say this, every morning I exchange wills. I exchange my will for his will. But you know, sometimes it's not easy. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 50, and every time that he was faced with something to do, he never turned away. He never turned back. Actually, we can read it in Isaiah 50. In verse 4, it says this, he waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. In verse 5, and the Lord God hath opened mine ear. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And the Lord Jesus Christ, many times he was asked to do things that were difficult. How about the cross? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he goes to Calvary's cross because it's the will of his Father. How about Mark chapter 1? And in Mark chapter 1, after a long day of service, it says the whole town comes to him. And they want to be healed, and he heals them into the wee hours of the morning. And whatever he was faced with, whether it was big decisions, whether it was small decisions, he never turned away. He never turned back. My will or my Father's will? It was always his Father's will. And maybe here this morning, the Lord's bringing you to that decision, whatever it is. And I encourage you this morning to not turn away, but follow the Lord. You could say, well, there's a cost to follow. There is a cost to follow. James and John, as they would follow the Lord, they would have to give up a viable fishing business. And it did cost them something, but was so much greater what they were entering into. You see, it costs more not to follow. And here this morning, I encourage you and me not to be like Jonah and to turn away, but to follow the Lord in whatever that decision is. He will give the grace. He will give the strength. And if we do what's right, he will bless. And Jonah, it says here, he paid the fare. It cost him a lot. And there's a downward track. He ends up going down to Joppa. Then he ends up going down into the bottom of the boat. Then he ends up going down into the bottom of the fish. But the Lord is gracious, isn't he? And the Lord is full of compassion, and he brings Jonah right back. But he paid the fare. It cost him a lot. Well, let's think here in Jonah chapter 1 about the lessons that Jonah would learn. There's a few lessons. There's the whale, the fish. And there's many lessons that we can learn from this. There's also the lessons in chapter 4 with the gourd. And I just want to think about this for a few minutes. And then we're going to look at the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Jonah. The great fish. It's many lessons, but there's one lesson I just want to think about. You see, where does Jonah go in chapter 2? He goes into the belly of the fish. He's going down. And he's really, God is giving Jonah a taste of really where these people are going, these Ninevites. Do you have a burden for them, Jonah? Do you know where they're going? Well, God's giving Jonah a little taste of where they're going. And how about the gourd? I always think of the gourd as a sunflower. I don't know what it looked like, but there is Jonah's waiting to see what God's going to do to the Ninevites after Jonah preached to the Ninevites. Here he is in the heat of the day, and this flower comes up, and he finds this relief from the sun. And I know what it's like. I was running the other day, and it was noon hour, and I came around the corner, and I found this, as I was running, I found this shade, and I just really thanked the Lord for the shade, being in the heat of the sun. And that was like Jonah, as the heat of the sun came, there was a gourd or a sunflower, as I see it, that shaded him. And he was so thankful for that plant. And then God sent a worm, and it destroyed the plant. And Jonah was so distressed about that plant dying. It's like he had this connection with the plant. And God says this to him: you didn't even create that plant, but yet I've created the Ninevites, and I have compassion towards them. Jonah, why don't you have compassion towards them? And in these two lessons, it's this: God's not just speaking to Jonah, but he's speaking to me. Do I have compassion for the people around me that are perishing? God does. But do I? And as God's speaking to Jonah, he speaks right back to me. Do you have a burden for the lost? Coworkers, students around you, neighbors that are perishing. And then we'll think that, last of all, just this picture in the book of Jonah. Been enjoying this lately. You can find the Lord Jesus Christ from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And I want to think about this in the last few moments. Here in chapter 1, we see this storm. There's no peace in these men's lives. As this storm has come up, they thought they're going to perish. And they're being pushed back and forth, and the boat is breaking up. And there's no peace. And so they try three things. They try, first of all, throwing their goods overboard. They lighten the load. And maybe in your little life here this morning, you're finding no peace. You think, well, I need to maybe just lighten the load. I need to take a vacation. Or maybe I need to just change things in my life. Does that bring peace? It won't. The second thing they tried is they tried to call unto their gods. And maybe I can find peace. Maybe you can find peace in religion. I can call on God. I can go to a place of worship, and maybe I'll find peace there. But you know, religion will give you no peace. Religion really is the greatest curse in this world. And then the third thing is this. Is that they not only call on their gods, but they tried to row as hard as they could through the storm. And if I could just get to the shore, then we'll find peace on the shore. And maybe today you're trying as hard as you can to try to find peace. Maybe your good works. Remember a man saying, when I get to heaven, I'm going to hedge my bets. I'm going to live as good as I can now. So when I get to heaven, that maybe God will give me the thumbs up. But you know, all our good works and all our human effort will never give us peace. And here this morning, the reason why you have no peace is because you've been separated from your Creator because of sin. But there's a little picture here, and I want to think about this here this morning. The only way that this ship could find peace and the people on it could find peace is they had to cast Jonah overboard. He had to go down into the depths of the sea. And he had to be spit out on land. And the only way that you can find peace and I can find peace is because one has been cast out of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's died on the cross for my sin and for your sin. And he's gone down into the depths of death. He's risen again. And the only way you can find peace within, is if you have peace with God. And do you have peace with God? Because you'll find no peace outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be reconciled to God, or you need that relationship to be restored, because sin is wrecked and ruined and has separated you from God. But I'm thankful I can tell you that Jesus Christ has come. And he's died on the cross. He's risen again. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through what? Through going to being religious or by good works? No, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your faith? Is it in yourself? Is it in your religion? Or is it in Jesus Christ? And if it's in Jesus Christ here this morning, then you'll have peace with God. And you'll have that peace within. It's only through him this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the book of Jonah, there's a little picture here of finding peace. It's only in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we would have no message to tell here this morning. There'd be no peace with God. We'd be separated from our Creator forever. But Father, we're so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he has made peace through the blood of his cross. And he's died at Calvary to take care of our sin. And we can only find peace in him. Father, we're thankful for the book of Jonah and how many times we see Jonah in our own lives. But Father, we're thankful that we can learn these lessons. We can learn that the God of heaven is a God of compassion, a God of love. And Father, we're so thankful you're not a distant God, but you're a God that cares. Our Father, we just praise your name, and we give thanks this morning in his precious name. Amen.